Are you possessed? Anybody interested in that? Not possession. Well, I don't know. Oh, let's pray together. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, we haven't been in the Gospel of Mark for a while, right? We've been in John a lot. We've been in some of the letters that had been written by Paul and John. So we need to come back now to Mark, and so we have to reorient ourselves because the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John are very different. And here's one of the big differences. You know how John will make a statement and then he'll continue on and on and on, right, about that statement? Not Mark. Mark is like very direct and to the point. There's like he makes a statement and just leaves it there and moves on, right? So very, very direct. And the other thing about Mark is that Mark is urgent. There is a total sense of urgency in Mark's gospel. And Mark's gospel is the first gospel that was written. So for Mark, it was like, we need to get the story down so I can get out and everybody can get out and start doing and spreading the good news. So there's a total urgency that's going on. There's an immediacy, right? You hear this immediately, immediately, immediately after. So that, you know, you feel that like rush. You almost want to rush through the gospel of Mark. And it's actually the shortest one also, which is why when we're in the year of looking at the Gospel of Mark, a lot of John gets popped in there. So it's kind of like Mark is saying, here it is, I'm laying it out for you, now let's get going. Starts out with no birth story whatsoever and begins right away with Jesus coming to be baptized. Right? And we had heard that story. And then the Holy Spirit is poured out upon Jesus as he's coming up from the water. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Immediately drives him into the desert where he is going to be confronted with Satan. And he comes out of the desert because the kingdom of God is here, is what Jesus is saying. So that is the most important thing in the Gospel of Mark. So let's catch up. We're in chapter 3 now, right? So we had Jesus' baptism, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And I'm curious, do you think Jesus needed the Holy Spirit? God, man? It's interesting, right? Yeah, perhaps. We never know the answer. That's the interesting thing. There's, you know, some people say, well, we know the answer to everything. We don't know the answers. But I think it's really interesting that the gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the divine, yet fully human, Jesus. So goes out to the desert, confronts the devil, comes out of the desert, and immediately starts to call his disciples. And by the way, calls those that would probably not have been called. They certainly didn't make the cut the first time around when it came to following a rabbi. And so he calls them, and they follow. And then the next thing that happens is he's preaching in a synagogue. A man who is possessed by a demon starts to stand up and say, I know who you are. Maybe these other people around here don't know who you are, but I know who you are, Lord Jesus. And what do you have to do with us? And he immediately drives the demon out of him. He teaches to crowds that are starting to gather. There's a man whose hand, they say the hand is withered, but the hand is deformed. He can't use it anymore, probably can't even do any type of work. There's a form of death that happens there, right? And so Jesus says, stretch out your hand, and heals the hand, and it's pulled back to fullness. This man has his life back again. There's one problem to this. Jesus does this on the Sabbath day, the day in which no work is to be done, not even healing. No work is to be done. So you can imagine at this point that reports are being made back to Jerusalem about what's going on in the Galilee area. And there begins, as early as chapter 3, the plot to begin to kill Jesus. That's how early it happens in Mark's gospel. So now Jesus goes home, and Jesus probably went back and forth between home and wherever they were quite often because the area was pretty close together. And Jesus goes home, and there's so many people that are gathering to see Jesus that he doesn't even have an opportunity to eat. And so the family is called. You know, we've got a situation going on here. I think you need to come and take your son home. Right? We hear these words. We think he's gone mad. The big guns come from Jerusalem. I don't know how else to describe them. These are the authorities of the law. I mean, these are the guys that are going to determine whether or not Jesus is who Jesus says he is, that he is from God. So I'm going to call them the big guns for the purpose of our conversation. So they come. They're sent, you know, to come to Galilee. They come from Jerusalem to make a determination, right, based on all of their knowledge and study of years and years and years of who God is and how God acts. They're going to determine whether or not Jesus is of God or Jesus is of something else. Which is very interesting. Their conclusion? Jesus is possessed by Beelzebul, who is a demon, the head demon. And so here, the men of God, these men who should know, we would hope, God, when he sees God, says he's possessed. Possession. It's an interesting word, isn't it? You can either be possessed by something, or you can have possession of something. When we have possession of something, right, it's that we have control of something. We own something. And when there's possession by, it's almost as if that something has ownership of us. Or that something controls us. So if you had the two to pick from, possession of or possession by, which one would you rather have? Yeah, if we were really honest, we'd say possession of. I want to control. I want to own. I don't want to be possessed by. For example, football. Football is a great example, right? What is the goal of football? To get possession of the football, the ball itself, right? And once you have possession of that football, you want to run to your goal. There's a line called the goal line that you want to make sure you cross with that football in your hand. That's what you want to do. Because when you do that and you cross that line with that football in your hand, you score points. And when you score points, what do they say? The one with the most points wins. And so it's about winning. And so there's lots and lots of controversy. And did he have, I can't say she, but I could say she if it's not the professional football league. Did he or she have control of the football? Did he or she have possession? Did they own it? Did they have control over it? Right? Because there's all kinds of rules around that. But for the football player, what's their main goal? To get possession of the football. It doesn't matter if you're on the offense or if you're on the defense, because the defense doesn't just try to stop them. They try to do what? Rip that football out and run the other way. So that's what it's about. Possession of the football. All so that you will win the game. Do you think that football players are possessed by something? They're possessed by the goal to win the game. Because winning the game, there are rewards. So if you think about it, right, football players are possessed by getting possession of the ball. And if you think about everything in our lives, something does possess us to get possession of. Think about that one for a while. Jesus was possessed. Yes, he was possessed. He was possessed by the will of God. You could say that he was possessed as God to do something, and that was to resolve any and all obstacles that would keep humanity from being reconciled with God the Creator. That is what Jesus was possessed by. And he stopped at nothing to obtain this goal. And what are the things that keep us from being reconciled to God? Sin, death, and the devil. Those are the three things. So what does Jesus do? He expels the demon, the demonic, from the person. He restores the man's hand so he is no longer in a death of not being able to use his hand any longer. He calls sinners, outcasts, to be his followers and freely forgives sins. Jesus was possessed by reconciling the world to him, to God through him. He was possessed to tie up the strong man. The strong man in this parable is the devil. And so he's possessed to tie up Satan and remove any ultimate power that Satan will have over this world. Because ultimately, God wins. Sin, death, and the devil does not have the final say. And we know this in the resurrected Jesus. So we know Jesus is possessed. But you know something? You are possessed by something also. I am possessed by something. Each and every one of you are possessed by something. Just by virtue of the fact that you are here this morning or you are listening to the audio of this, you are possessed. And you know you're possessed because sometimes people, you ever notice when people like, they're surprised by an action that you have, and they may say to you, "What in the world possessed you to?" Right? I think this is a mother to a child sometimes, or a father to a child. What in the world would possess you to say that? What in the world would possess you to act that way? Right? So that's that surprise. Well, maybe you've heard things like this. What would possess you to get up early on a Sunday morning to go worship when you could be sleeping in? What would possess you to give up your Friday mornings to drive 30 minutes to an outdoor venue that is ridiculously hot to give out free food to people that you don't even know? What would possess you to give up your Wednesday evening every week to spend time with other people to learn about God? What would possess you to give away 10% of your hard-earned money to the church? What would possess you to actually pray out loud in a restaurant before a meal? What would possess you to take your precious vacation time and go on a mission trip? What would possess you to give up your Friday night to gather and practice for worship on Sunday? What would possess you to fill in the blank? Have we not all heard it? At some point in our lives, I think that we have heard it. So what would possess you to? I say it's not what. It's who? Yeah. Who would possess you? Who are you possessed by? It's the Holy Spirit who possesses you. That's who you're possessed by. The gift given by God the Creator through Jesus Christ the Savior, who grabs hold of you to do things that you could never, ever imagine in your life that you would be doing. And that doesn't mean, by the way, when you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that everything is on easy street now, that it's not going to be difficult or challenging at times. It is going to be difficult and challenging. But you have the Holy Spirit as your guide as your advocate, as your mentor, as the one who is there at all times with you, comforting you and helping you to move on. God's ways are different. And yeah, people may think that you've gone mad. So why couldn't the big guys, all right, the big guns, see this? My goodness, they're the religious authorities. And why maybe couldn't Jesus' family see this? Because just like many people today, they couldn't understand, perhaps, especially for the big guns, that God's grace is for all. That God makes the decision for us. That God was and continues to act in a completely new and different way in Jesus Christ. They were expecting the old. My goodness, you don't break the law and heal someone on the Sabbath. And it's as if Jesus is saying, my grace is unconditional. I can do what I want when I want to. That's who I am. You know, we want to kind of bind in God. Are you possessed? Yeah, you are possessed. And it may feel really, really strange. But there's something new and exciting that's happening in you. Something that's totally different. Something that is extremely powerful beyond your comprehension. So go ahead. Be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit grab a hold of you and live in and through you. And you will indeed find passion, boldness, and I'm going to say adventure beyond anything that you've ever imagined. And you'll find this boldness, this passion, and this adventure that only comes from this kind of possession. Be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.